Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, August 13th, 2016. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabweans have expressed dismay over state security agencies' move to monitor discussions in civil society meetings. And young Zimbabwean swimmers are expected to take part in Olympic Games in the near future. Stay tuned. Civic society leaders in Zimbabwe have expressed dismay over the heavy presence of suspected state security agents in their meetings, workshops and related activities following nationwide protests, saying this is stifling freedom of association and freedom of speech, as some activists are now scared of speaking out their minds. Some people are even scared of attending some of the meetings. Country Maramba reports from Masvingo.
These concerns came out in Masvingo at a meeting convened by the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, attended by civil society leaders. The organization's Advocates Committee Chairperson, Marvelous Kumalo, said the state security agents are scaring away members of the public who feel that they are being monitored.
It defies logic. Because the people have freedom of expression, they also have freedom of assembly. So the Constitution guarantees people, individuals, and even civil society organizations to convene these meetings and freely allow people to express their views. But we have seen a worrying trend that members from peace, members from the president's office, they sneak in those meetings, and upon realizing that they are there, some people become afraid, some are intimidated by their presence, and they will then fail to express themselves willingly.
Masvingo Human Rights Trust coordinator Masimba Gonese Kongeti, adding that civic society organizations are concerned about the issue.
We are very much concerned about the presence of state security agencies at workshops like these, which do not have any political inclinations.
Prophet Tafumane Zenda of Christian Voices International Zimbabwe said such action is a sign that the government is oppressing its citizens.
People must be allowed to express themselves freely. It is a citizen right to be, freedom of speech.
There was no immediate reaction from the police and the Zimbabwe Spy Network, the Central Intelligence Organization, or CIO. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, I am Country Maramba.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
After a recent meeting at the Department of Defense with his National Security Council, President Barack Obama said that ISIL leaders know they will lose in Syria and Iraq. With support from the Counter-ISIL Coalition, local forces have made significant progress against ISIL in Iraq and Syria. They have taken key territory from ISIL and continue to advance in their planning and on the battlefield toward Mosul. In Syria, said the president, they are choking off the last entry to the ISIL stronghold of Raqqa. The military portion of the counter-ISIL strategy is showing great progress, President Obama said. The coalition air campaign continues to hit ISIL targets wherever the terrorists try to hide. American pilots are doing their best to avoid civilian casualties, in stark contrast to ISIL, which uses non-combatants as shields. Coalition and local forces continue to take out senior ISIL leaders and commanders, and this is having an effect on the organization's command and control and its discipline. None of ISIL's leaders are safe, and we are going to keep on going after them, said President Obama. The terror group continues to lose ground in Iraq and Syria. Iraqi forces have taken Fallujah and are pushing up the Euphrates River Valley. They are also pushing up the Tigris River, taking Qayyarah, and are preparing to launch an offensive against Mosul, the largest city still under ISIL control. Meanwhile, in Syria, Obama said, a coalition of local forces backed by our special operations forces and airstrikes continues to take the fight to ISIL as well. The coalition is fighting its way into the town of Manbij, a gateway for ISIL fighters coming in and terrorists heading out to attack Europe, which is why ISIL was fighting hard to hold it. ISIL has not had a major successful offensive operation in either Syria or Iraq in a full year, said President Obama. Even ISIL's leaders know they're going to keep losing. In their message to followers, they're increasingly acknowledging that they may lose Mosul and Raqqa, and ISIL is right, he continued. They will lose them, and we'll keep hitting them and pushing them back and driving them out until they do.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And as usual, we now hand you over to Mavelas Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Mavelas Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we have the pleasure of speaking to Miriam Sibanda, a Zimbabwean lady who has been involved in women's soccer for a very long time and is currently fighting a battle with Zifa over her dismissal as the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Women's Football League chairperson. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Sibanda.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Mrs. Sibanda, today we are going to take a look at women's football in the country, also bearing in mind what we saw coming out of the Rio Olympics, where the Mighty Warriors fell to three teams and are now back in Zimbabwe. What's your take on the state of women's football in the country?
I think it's a mixed state. On the one hand, I'm very proud of the achievements of the Mighty Warriors. Just the fact that they were able to get to Rio and participate and were even able to score a goal in each of the three games that they played. For me, that makes me proud, first as a Zimbabwean, as a woman, and also as a woman who has tried to be involved in the leadership of women football. Whilst I am proud and happy of those achievements, on the other hand, I feel a lot of pain because these achievements were reached under very difficult circumstances. One feels a sense of pain, hopelessness that, you know, things could have been done better.
Do you think the lack of a professional women's league has led to the performance that we witnessed the Mighty Warriors doing at the Rio Olympics?
I think the start is the foundation of women football right now is very shaky. The leadership is not there. Those that are supposed to lead are not being given the space to lead. And as a result, there is no organized women football that is taking place regularly, competitively, to give the players competitive game time. And because there is no leadership that is clear, the preparations were also shoddy. There's also the issue of the welfare of the girls. It wasn't taken care of. The girls did not have competitive game time to the extent that the few that were playing, that play for clubs that were active, the standard of play was not very high because we had no access to referees. Referees were stopped from officiating at women football games by Zifa officials. So it's been a very difficult build-up preparation when you compare to what the opponents went through. And you also look even at the issue of their payments, as it were, of allowances and living conditions. There's a huge difference. So when you take all that into consideration, you inevitably end up just saying, you know, these are true Mighty Warriors, just the fact that they were able to achieve what they achieved.
Moving forward, what do you think could be the way to remedy what we're currently seeing happen?
I think the starting point is those that say they are in women football, we all need to sit down and bury our differences and say, what is it that we need to do that is in the best interest of women football, and then go from there.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Miriam Sibanda, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much.
I'm Mavelas Mhlanga Nyahuye. Join me again next week when we'll be looking at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Mavelas Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. In sports news, we caught up with Lona Margaret Riley, chairperson of the Zimbabwe swimming team, who is currently in the Rio Olympic Games. Riley says young Zimbabwean swimmers are expected to take part in Olympic Games in the near future.
We only have two athletes, Kirsty and a youngster, Sean Gunn, who was accepted on his freestyle time for universality.
And obviously we have a coach. Okay, what exactly is that?
Universality. What it does is that FINA, who are our swimming body, allow every country who's affiliated to them to send two athletes, one male, one female, to the Olympics to compete. So that's why we have two athletes, Kirsty and Sean, who has universality.
What benefits are there for universality? Give us a bit of information there.
Well, what I'll do first is give you a breakdown of how this works. The Olympics are allowed to host 900 swimmers alone. That's all we're allowed out of the whole world. Currently here, we have 550 swimmers who are here with A time. We have 20 swimmers who have been invited by FINA on a B qualifying time. We have 110 swimmers who are here by the bigger nations who are the relay swimmers. And we have 220 swimmers who are here on universality. So that makes up our total of 900. And for those kids who are here on universality, a lot of them do have the B qualifying standard. So it's all about development. It's about getting swimming to the top of the watchable list for the Olympics. And for development, it's really nice for small countries like ours to get the opportunity to expose our athletes in this kind of way. So it's a great team-building exercise. It's a great development exercise for aquatic sport. And it's really good fun for the swimmers.
So how old is Sean?
Sean is 22 years old. He grew up in Zimbabwe. His parents still live in Zimbabwe. And he is currently at the University of Kentucky on a swimming scholarship. So he's been there for some 3 years now, and he will be graduating next year.
Now, are you happy with the performance of your athletes so far?
Absolutely. You know, we always understood that Kirsty was going to have an outside chance at doing well here. She is the second oldest athlete in the swimming arena for females. There's only one lady who's older than her from Sweden. So, you know, we understand that it's going to be hard. She knew that going into the competition. Sean has improved his time and set a new national record for the 100 meters freestyle. So, you know, for us, it's a win-win situation. We've got old experience from here, and we've got a young newbie who's desperate to swim well and swim hard. And so we've made the achievements we hope to make.
And now, looking at the future of swimming in Zimbabwe, you know, we know that there's lack of funds, and at times the diet is not even too good. So what is the future like in terms of Zimbabwe's swimming?
Well, you know what, it's difficult. You know, I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but our facilities in Zimbabwe are not plentiful, and it's not a cheap sport. And at the moment, the economy is proving difficult. So, you know, for a lot of people, it's not easy to take their swimmers down to a swimming pool every single day to develop them. Having said that, we have improved our numbers in the swimming pool, or at the very least, we've kept them the same over the last couple of years. We have some great swimmers coming through the ranks. We have other swimmers who are outside of the country swimming. We have Chad Idenson, who's at the University of Arizona. He went to Nanjing for the Junior Olympics. He is 19, 20 years old now, so he's sort of the next best thing. We have Peter Wexler, who's a year younger than him. He's 19, and he has also joined the University of Kentucky. He's a great option coming up. We have Robin Lee, female star. She's in Australia. She's 18. So we have some talent coming through.
That was Lona Margaret Riley, chairperson of the Zimbabwe Swimming Team Board, speaking with Studio 7 from Brazil. And we kept our show tonight with a musical featuring Rising Maskandi outfit Abafana Bakagodlwayo. We have just dropped their second album, Umahlale Kangeni. VOA Studio 7 in Tukamini Komo reports. Why,
With their debut album Bulalu Nesono, Abafana Baka Godloyo emerged as one of the finest Maskandi outfits to come out of Zimbabwe. And now with Mahlale Kangeni, their second album, the South African-based group originally from Vilabusi are asserting their authority. One of the best songs in the album is Inkosi Ulopengula, a tribute to the Ndebele king who disappeared without a trace. Group leader Thabani Divispanda says the tribute is a reminder of the rich Ndebele people's history.
In that song, I am speaking about the last Ndebele king, and it's a dedication song to him. It's a praising song with a praising poetry for our last Ndebele kings, and it also speaks the history, Ndebele history.
And in the track Highlanders, Abafana Baka Godloyo pay tribute to Ezigama Kepula, the Highlanders Football Club. Other tracks include Inzima Lendlela, Washa Washa, Emangunini, and Umama Priscilla, a tribute to Matabeleland South Member of Parliament Priscilla Misaira Mishonga for what they are saying is her outstanding representation of the Ndebele people and their interests in Parliament. What's your message to your supporters out there, Sbanda, and music lovers in general?
I would like to say thank you so much for their support, and they have to keep on supporting us. We really appreciate it. We are still growing, and I will ask even business people from Matabeleland to come and help us. It's not easy in music industry without them. We really need them, and our supporters, I would like to tell them to go and buy our original CDs in Bulawayo. They can contact Ubabu Maranda and get their copies on 077-2986-402. I can repeat the number again. It's 077-2986-402 at Max Hardway, opposite Maple Brothers.
Thank you so much, Mr. Spanda, and we wish you the best.
Thank you, Nkomo, and I would like to invite them, the fans in Bulawayo, to come and support us on 3 September. We will be performing in Rainbow Hotel. Let them come in numbers.
And of course, there is Uma Ujola, clearly one of the best tracks in this album. That note, it's time for me to go, but for you, it's time to enjoy the music. I am Tungameli Nkomo.
Thanks very much, Ntungameli Nkomo, with that musical piece from Godloyo. Zimbabweans expressed dismay over state security agents' move to monitor discussions in civic society meetings. And young Zimbabwean swimmers are expected to grace the Olympic Games in the near future. That's a quick recap of our top stories. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.